blessing to be able to preach God's Word. Always enjoy the opportunities the Lord gives us to preach here at Tri-City. And we thank the Lord for the ministry and for all that the Lord has done and continues to do all the time. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to look this morning. And as we recognize our veterans this morning, see, all the kids are leaving. You try not to get paranoid when you preach and you get up to preach and everyone starts leaving. But we understand. We understand where they're going. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we recognize our veterans this morning, we thank them for their service. We are reminded of the importance and necessity of a military, of an effective military. We do not live in a peaceful world, but rather we live in a world that is filled with all kinds of evil and evil men. And from a national standpoint, good soldiers are necessary for our peace, our safety, our well-being. The Scripture uses the analogy of soldiers and of warfare throughout God's revelation. In the Old Testament, we read of many battles and fights that oftentimes illustrate and parallel the spiritual battles we face in life. Sometimes people wonder, why is the Bible so filled with stories of battles and of wars? And there are a number of reasons for it. One of it, it's the history of God's people. But there are many lessons that are gleaned from that as God provides, protects, takes care of His people. And many spiritual lessons about really that parallel the Christian life. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of a soldier and of a battle on numerous occasions. We are told that our warfare is not with flesh and blood. We are told to fight the good fight of faith. We are told to put on the whole armor of God. Paul refers to both Epaphroditus and Archippus as both fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ. So our text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at the first seven verses, uses the soldier as a picture of the Christian life. It actually uses three analogies in this passage. It uses the analogy of a soldier, then of an athlete, and then of a farmer. And Paul uses each of these analogies elsewhere in Scripture, but most is said here about the soldier. And what is said about the athlete and the farmer are also true of the soldier. So if you are an athlete, the analogy of an athlete might ring more strongly with you. If you have an agricultural background, the analogy of a farmer might speak to you. But I think without doing harm or disservice to the text, and in honor of our veterans this morning, we're going to focus on that one analogy, and that is that of a soldier, asking ourselves the question, what does it take to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Or what are the marks of a good soldier? Let's look at our text, beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and let's read along in the text as we acquaint ourselves here with this passage, a familiar passage of Scripture that we use on a number of occasions. But beginning at verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Ask His blessing as we look at this passage this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the opportunity we have had this morning to praise You through song and to hear Your name praised through music. We thank You for the many ways that You have demonstrated Your blessings to us. And now, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that our hearts will be open to what the Holy Spirit would have us to learn. I pray that You would use the text this morning to accomplish Your purpose in each life. If there is someone here, Lord, who does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that their hearts would be open and would accept the gift of salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. I pray that You will use this text this morning to challenge each of us to draw closer to You. I pray that You will fill me with Your Spirit, empty me, Lord, of any aspect of self. And I pray that, Lord, You will just empower Your Word as it goes forth this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go through this text, there are several marks indicated of what it takes to be a good soldier, and particularly to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The first thing, as we come to verse 1, we're just going to walk our way through the text this morning. The first thing we find is that it's important. If we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must be strong. You must be strong. Now, we're not talking about physical strength here. The idea here of be strong, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The idea here is to be empowered, literally to be increasing in strength, strengthened by His grace. Our military expects and demands a standard of physical fitness for all of its soldiers, all of its airmen, Navy personnel, Coast Guard. Anyone in the military who has been in the military knows there is a very tough, exacting standard of physical condition. When Pastor Mike was here, we used to hear him tell and bemoan the upcoming physical training tests he had to take every year. I admire our military for being able to keep in shape and work to keep in shape. It's not an easy thing, and especially as you get older, to be able to pass the certain requirements that the military requires of you, to be able to run a certain distance within a certain time frame. I gave up on running a long time ago. When I was younger, I used to play sports. We ran all the time. I remember having a basketball coach who I think he was a little bit sadistic, and he just would run us for, it just seemed like to us, hours on end. And I remember when we were first married, Leslie and I were first married, I went out for a run. I was trying to, you know, lose some weight, get myself in shape. I came back. I was so tired. I said, this is ridiculous. So I'm not a huge fan of running. Some of you who are great runners, I admire you. I will cheer you on. But to be able to do a test like this, to be able to run, at especially as you get older, a certain period, a certain distance, at a certain time frame, to be able to do so many push-ups, to be able to do so many sit-ups, to be able to do all the things that are required. Why is that required? It's required so that those who are training for combat are prepared to go in combat. You know, there's a lot of stories through history of nations, of militaries that just were not physically ready for combat when the time for combat came. And as a Christian, we need to be ready. We need to be strong, but our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength referred here for the Christian soldier is not physical strength, it's spiritual strength. We are to be strengthened by His grace. Be strong, he says, in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, it's easy for us to read that, but what does that mean? If I tell you, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, what does that actually mean? It's not in your power, it's not in your physical strength that you stand against the devil, the powers of evil in this world, but it is through His grace. His grace. God has given us His grace, and it's manifested in many areas to strengthen us. So, for example, God has strengthened us by His grace by saving us. We are saved by His grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that For you are not saved of yourself, but by the gift you are saved by the gift of God, not of works. Our salvation is not of our own effort. Our salvation is not of our own strength, our own ingenuity. You and I cannot be strong enough spiritually or be strong enough physically to save ourselves. But God in His grace has provided salvation for us. If you're here this morning and you are trusting in your own strength, your own ability to get you to heaven, you're going to find out you're going to come up far short. There's no way in physical strength, there's no way that we can muster up even enough spiritual strength, enough spiritual determination to merit the favor and the righteousness of God. It is only through His grace we are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. We are also told to grow in grace. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it talks about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We do that every day, seeking to become more dependent on Him, seeking to pursue Him, seeking to be more reliant upon Him. As we depend upon Him, learn of Him, mature in Him, we grow in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In fact, God points out also earlier in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we have been given all things necessary to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 and 3, He talks about how by His divine power, He has given us all things that pertains to our godliness. We have everything that we need to grow in grace, to mature, to be strong. And He goes on to say that He has given us that through His Word, by giving us actually the Word of God that we can feed upon and grow upon and learn by. So we have, through His grace, been given all things. We've been given the weapons to fight this spiritual battle by His grace. We are told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, through the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not physical muscle. They're not guns. They're not automatic rifles. They're not fighter jets. They're not bombers. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. And through these spirit that have been given to us by His grace. The Bible tells us here that we are to take upon ourselves, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, we are to take upon ourselves the armor of God, that we might be able to stand. And chapter 6 gives a list of the various pieces of the armor, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and so forth. We are to avail ourselves of the grace that has been bestowed upon us, and grow in that grace so that we can become strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you strong? Are you strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? But to be a good soldier is more than just being strong. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must be concerned for others. Our text in verse 2 is a verse we use frequently around here in our college and seminary, because it really talks about the importance of training the next generation or training others. He says that the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. A good soldier of Jesus Christ needs to be concerned for others. He needs to be concerned for training the next generation. He needs to be concerned for training men and women who are at different levels of spiritual growth. We use this text, as I said, a lot in our seminary and in the college. And sometimes there's a tendency because of that to think, well, this just applies to pastors and seminarians and people who are in full-time ministry. But this is for all of us. The challenge is for all of us to think about the next generation, to think about others, to focus on others. Where are others in their walk with Christ? You know, we are all called to be disciples. And if you're called to be a disciple, that means you are called to be a disciple maker. It's not enough to say, well, I follow Jesus Christ. Well, if I follow Jesus Christ, then I'm going to do all that He commanded me to do. And what did He tell me to do? He told me to go in the world and make disciples. So I can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless I am a disciple maker as well, seeking to help make disciples for Jesus Christ. It's interesting, our military, in fact, any good military, is set up by ranks. All the different ranks, the different officers and different levels, depending on the various branch of service, sometimes a private or a lower commissioned officer sees leadership modeled, ideally, by those whose rank is above him. He is trained thoroughly at each stage. And as he progresses to another stage, he will get further training, depending on what rank he attains. Well, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be concerned with training those in the ranks below us, new believers, young or immature believers in Christ, maybe our children, our grandchildren. They are coming up through the ranks, so to speak. Someone needs to teach them. Someone needs to put life on life and teach them and share God's Word with them and help them to grow in Christ. Sometimes it's easy for us as a Christian to look at somebody at kind of at a distance. Maybe they make a profession of faith in Christ, and we see that. We don't really have much interaction with them. And then we just see they kind of fade off the scene. And maybe they're no longer growing and maturing in Christ. And we kind of cross our arms and, I knew they weren't really saved. I just knew that they weren't really sincere. Well, how did you know? Did you spend time with them? Did you pour your life into them? Were you concerned for them? Did you help them, seek to help them to grow? All of us as believers should be concerned. We are one body in Christ, and we need to be concerned about every part of that body and do what we can to help each part of the body to grow as it's supposed to grow. Otherwise, the body does not function. If we're a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be concerned for others. Sometimes, though, because of these things, we tend and attempted maybe to go AWOL. Because the third mark of a good soldier of Jesus Christ is we have to be willing to endure hardship. The battle becomes difficult. We see people maybe leaving the ranks or appearing to leave the ranks. And sometimes we look around at the difficulty we are having because of our stand for Christ, and we think, man, it would be a lot easier if I just gave up on this Christianity business. That's why Paul says here that you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word hardship means suffering. Spiritual battles believers face around the world are real. You and I live in a fallen world that is exposed to evil and that surrounds us. It really is a blessing that our Lord shelters us from so much that could harm us. But when we stand for Christ, we'll often face opposition. We'll face persecution. Those of us here in the U.S. have avoided much of the suffering that believers around the world have faced. But even that is changing, and I think will continue to change in the years ahead. I'm not just being pessimistic, I'm just being honest and realistic. A good soldier learns to live without all the comforts of life. Imagine a soldier pinned down in battle under enemy fire, complaining that his coffee was not hot enough, or that his bed was too hard. You know, we complain about a lot of first world problems, don't we? We get upset about a lot of things. The line was long at Starbucks. I had to wait 10 minutes. Or this guy cut in front of me in his Lexus. You know, this morning as we speak, as we sit here in this church in the comforts of this auditorium, believers around the world are suffering. Believers in Myanmar are not allowed to meet in groups larger than five. Some of them are doing it right now, but they're doing it at great risk. Christian villages are being bombed because they are Christian villages. Many of these Christians are living out in the jungles trying to survive. In Afghanistan, Christians are being sought and either tortured or killed. Brother Babalova just posted a news article recently about a church in Nigeria that was attacked. Several people were killed, a number were kidnapped. And what was their crime? It was that of being a Christian. There are believers today in prisons around the world, in Asia, the Middle East, Cuba, we could go on. Pastors are being jailed in Canada today for refusing to cancel their services as they defend the right to assemble together. Here in the States, it may mean losing your job. I met a pharmacist recently who was forcibly retired because he would not fill a prescription for an abortion pill. As our nation becomes more and more unchristian, we're going to find ourselves the enemy of the state. It has not been enough to pass laws allowing gay marriage or every sort of strange transgender lie that is developed. You are expected to not only just accept it, but believe it and endorse it and condone it. And churches like ours that take a stand against deviant moral lifestyles are going to find more and more spiritual opposition. You're going to find it at work. Your attitude sometimes will be the condition for your continued employment. A good soldier is going to face hardship. We as 21st century American Christians don't like hardship. We're not used to it. We're soft. We're spoiled. And I speak of myself as well. I'm right there in that same boat. Why a Christian Chinese believer told one of our missionaries that he believed it would be the Chinese church that would take the gospel into hostile Muslim lands. And his reasoning was, he says, we are used to living under persecution. You are not. So not only is a good soldier willing to endure hardship, but fourthly, he does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. So to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ means not being entangled in the affairs of this world. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The idea of entanglement in the affairs of the world is the idea of being intertwined in civilian businesses, occupations, concerns. We live in this world. That is of necessity, obviously. But a soldier has to lay aside all those concerns and pursuits, and the Christian must be willing to do the same. In the military, you have your clothing chosen for you, where you live, what you do, the style of your hair. You do not stop being a citizen, as you have the rights and privileges a citizen has, but he is not entangled in the affairs of this life. He can't be worried about food, housing, if he's in combat. That same soldier pinned down, being shot at by the enemy, can't be sitting there worried about, now, did I pay my pennies bill? Did I pay my visa bill? Did I get that? He's not entangled in the affairs of this life. Many of those things are taken care of for him because he has to focus on the necessity of being a soldier. If you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you do not stop being a citizen of this world. But neither can you be entangled with the affairs of this life. In other words, the things of this world should not stop or stand in the way of you serving Christ. We have to deal with things of this world. We have to work. We have to pay bills. We have to do the things that are involved just living. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about entanglement, becoming so involved, so wrapped up, that you are trapped. Sometimes Christians are so busy with work, or maybe it's just with pleasure and recreation, they don't have time to worship the Lord. Or actively serve the Lord. I can't teach that Sunday school class. I've got too much I'm doing. What are you doing? I go here and I go there and I do this and I do that. I've heard some believers use their busy schedule to justify why they don't read their Bibles or pray. And frankly, if you're too busy to worship or to serve the Lord, you're too busy. You are entangled in the affairs of this life. Our focus needs to be on that which is eternal. That's why the Bible tells us in the New Testament, set your affections on things above, not on things below. The good soldier does this. Notice he says, to please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Who enlisted him as a soldier? Jesus Christ. One day hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is the motivation for a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in the next verse, verse 5, Paul does change the analogy to the athlete. And if you, in your mind, if that speaks to you, you keep that attitude, that analogy in mind. But I'm willing to, I think, without doing any harm to the text, also apply this to a good soldier. In fact, it's interesting, you can actually change the analogy for each of these main points. The same is true of a soldier, the same is true of an athlete, the same is true of a farmer in each point. But to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ means you follow the rules, you follow God's law. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's wonderful. Our boys won the soccer championship. That's great. They did it by following the rules. I don't think the goalie had the soccer ball stuck up under his jersey in the back, and the referee wasn't looking. He dropped it out and kicked it in the goal. Yay, we got a point. That wouldn't work too well. And if he got caught, he'd be disqualified. He'd be penalized. The same is true in athletics. It is true. It actually is true in farming. You have to obey various laws and rules regarding agriculture, when you can plant, when you can do certain things, what you can put into the ground. If you are a soldier, you certainly have to obey the rules. You have to obey the commands. Why do we think it does not matter in the Christian life? God has given us and instructed us in His Word, through the truth of God's Word, laws by which we should live by, principles by which we should live by. A good soldier obeys the law of God. He obeys the law of his land. You know, in many countries today, there are armies that are not well trained and well disciplined. And they are held in as much fear as the enemies that they are facing. That's what's happening in Myanmar. It's not a foreign nation that is coming and bombing villages and burning down churches and burning down houses. It's their military that is as corrupt as can be. That goes into villages and rapes and plunders and kills just at their whim to try to stir up fear. A good soldier is one who obeys the law, who obeys the rules. Who, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to realize God has given us instruction. He has told us how to live. He has given us commandments, not suggestions. This book, the Bible, serves as the authority for our beliefs and practices. The Bible, the Word of God, should determine and should be the motivation, the driving factor of our life and of our ministry. Sometimes believers think they can ignore God's Word and do what they will think is better. But God does tell us how we are to worship Him. God does tell us how we are to live for Him. God does tell us how we are to serve Him. And we need to be focused on what the Bible says. Let the Bible and the Word of God drive us and be obedient to Him and obedient to His Word. But then finally, a good soldier works hard to receive the prize. That is, he strives to finish the goal. He strives to accomplish what he has set out to do. He says the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. A farmer spends many hours doing what oftentimes seems tedious so that he can ultimately partake of the reward of his work. The fruit or the produce he enjoys is the result of a job that was finished and that was completed and that was done right, at least until the next season when he does it all over again. But a good soldier likewise must press on to complete the task before him in order to enjoy the fruit of his labor. The task may be difficult, the battlefield may be littered with casualties, but we need to press on to finish our course to attain the prize. That's why Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Then he goes on to say, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this same mind. In other words, if we are a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we press forward to the end. We press forward to the Christian life, even when it gets difficult. We don't give up. When we face discouragement, we don't quit. We continue to live for Christ. We continue to seek the Lord until we ultimately receive the prize that is set before us. I challenge those of you this morning who maybe because it's late in life, or because the calls of this world are enticing you, do not quit. Paul spoke of Demas, who has forsaken us, having loved this present world. A number of examples we have in Scripture of people who, because it seemed difficult, or because they were disillusioned, gave up and forsook the Lord. Don't give up in following the Lord. See, when you see your children living for the Lord, your grandchildren learning to follow Christ, you are tasting just a bit of the fruit that is yours to enjoy because you did not quit. Pursue onward. Pursue obeying the Lord. Pursue what God has called you to do. Do not quit. Do not give up. A good soldier has to press on in order to receive the prize. So I ask you this morning to think about this question. Am I a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Am I strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I availing myself of His grace, His salvation, His Word, the Spirit of God? Am I availing myself of that? Am I strong in His grace? Am I concerned for others? Trying to teach, trying to train, trying to be a good example, trying to model what a disciple looks like, helping new believers, helping more immature believers, helping people to grow around me. Am I concerned for others? Am I willing to endure hardship? Things get difficult. Am I willing to do that, even though this may be a challenge, to take a stand for Christ? Or am I entangled in the affairs of this world? This life just got me wrapped up in it so much that I just am too busy to serve the Lord. Am I obeying God's rules, His instructions? And am I striving toward the prize? That's what it takes to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to hear the Lord say to you one day, the one who enlisted you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm afraid that sometimes in God's army, there are a lot of soldiers who are not quite in shape to fight the battle. They've been feeding on the world. They have been wrapping themselves up in the things of this world. They have a life that is nice and cushy and comfortable. And then the opportunity comes to serve God or to do right or to take a stand. And we say, I can't do that, because it might upset my standard of living. It might upset my comfort. It might be detrimental in some way to me. I'll pass that opportunity by. We need to be soldiers of the cross. As much today as ever in the history of this country, God's people need to be soldiers of the cross. And we need to be strengthened by His grace, empowered by His grace, helping one another, faithfully serving, not quitting, until Jesus calls us home again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as we go to prayer this morning, I challenge you to just search your own heart and ask yourselves the question that we sang about this morning. Am I a soldier of the cross? Am I really a follower of the Lamb? Am I willing to really to take a stand? To take His cross upon me? Even at great physical damage or maybe spiritual harm. This morning, as our heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's someone here and you've never even trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's never been that time when you've actually enlisted in His army. God, by His grace, has brought you here. He has put Christians in your life to share the Word of God with you. You recognize your need of Christ. You just have not really settled the issue of your salvation with Jesus Christ. You're not sure where you would spend eternity. You're not really sure whether you're part of His army. And the Lord is maybe speaking to someone's heart this morning about that. And as our heads are bowed and eyes closed, we have our pastors here at the front and at the back. Maybe there's someone here and you say, I'm just not certain that I am a part of the army of Christ. God is speaking to me about that. I'm uncertain about my salvation. Would you pray for me? We will not call you by name. We will not embarrass you, but we would like to remember you as I close in prayer this morning. Is there anyone like that here? Say, pray for me. I'm not certain that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but God is speaking to my heart this morning about my need of Christ. Pray for me. Just raise your hand up long enough where I can see it. I'll remember you this morning in our closing prayer. Is that anyone like that? Pray for me. I trust as a believer this morning, God is speaking to your heart and challenging you about being a good soldier. Maybe some of you just need to determine to re-enlist in the battle and stop running away from the battle. Maybe you're not availing yourselves of His grace. Maybe you're wrapping yourself too much up in the world. Maybe the hardships of this world are too much of a challenge for you. Maybe you've quit. But this morning you would say, by God's grace, I need to re-enlist. I need to own up to the battle. I need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God is speaking to my heart about one of these areas this morning. Remember me as you close in prayer. Anyone like that this morning? Pray for me. Yes. I see a number of hands. God's speaking to my heart about some areas. Pray for me. Yes. Yes. Are there others? Well, however God is speaking to your heart this morning, as we close with this invitation song, I challenge you this morning to be serious about your relationship with the Lord, wherever you are in that process, wherever you are in your Christian growth, and determined by God's grace to be the soldier you need to be for Jesus Christ.